Going to read today in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, very last chapter of 1 Corinthians. And remember, as we read these few verses, we're going to be in chapter 16 starting at verse 5. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. He has established it several years before, and young church, and they have some issues that he had to address. And he had a strong desire to go back and be with them. And so as we read this, you'll notice that he has laid plans to go back to Corinth and to visit with these people. And things maybe are going to change his plans a little bit, okay? And you'll notice the title of our message today, I'll get it out in a minute, is Opportunity Knocks. And do I have planners here? Do you guys plan things? Or does it all just happen for you? Rick's pointing at Jessica, and she's waving at me like, ooh, pick me. I always hated kids like that in class, but love sister. Some of you are planners, and some of you are just waiting for it to happen, aren't you? And that, I've lived my life a lot by waiting for it to happen, you know. And but I've learned some things over the years. It's good to make plans. Do you know that? It is, but as the sign, it was in front of a doctor's office when I ran a warehouse in Campbellsville. I was there 10 years, and that doctor's office always had good sayings on the sign out front. And this one was on there probably more than any other saying that they had out there. It said, it's okay to map out your future, but do it in pencil. And you know, it took a little while to understand what it was talking about. Because sometimes we can map it out, but things come up and change it, doesn't it? And the Apostle Paul is very much a planner, and we could go back into Acts and show you that, but we won't today. But he's made plans here in what he's writing to the church at Corinth. It comes down to the end of the letter, and he's going to lay out his plans to go back and to visit them. So let's start in here. In verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 16, he said, now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. Does that sound like he's planning things out? But did you notice how he did it in pencil? If it's the Lord's will. And you know, even James wrote about that later on and said, you know, that we need to be careful about saying we're going to go in such and such a place and we're going to do this and that and we're going to stay there so long. What we ought to say is, if it's the Lord's will. And that's what Paul's saying here, isn't it? He said, I trust to tarry with you a while if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And we're going to stop there. And the title is Opportunity Knocks. Anybody ever had opportunity knock at your door in your life? Some of you is looking kind of blank. Some of you kind of nodding. Some of you are not too exciting. Opportunity knocks, doesn't it? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. There's a saying that, and I had to look it up because I couldn't remember exactly how it went, but I wrote it down so I could share it with you today. And don't know who it originated with, so I don't know who to give credit to it for, but I've heard this many times in my life. And it says, four things come not back. The spoken word, the sped arrow, the past life, and the neglected opportunity. They never come back. And you know, I get thinking about that. Yeah, we can't take back what we say, can we? A lot of times we try to. We open our mouth and, you know, stupid comes out. Or I do. But you can't change it, can you? And words sometimes are impactful, aren't they? They can be for good or bad. But once we've set them, we've set them. We can't take them back. If you've ever shot an arrow, you'll realize they never make a U-turn. They always go the direction they're supposed to go. And we can't change our past life ourselves, can we? We can't go back. And I think this was probably Lewis that said this, C.S. Lewis. He said, you can't go back and change your past, but you can start today and change your future. So your past is gone, and we can't do anything about it. And neglected opportunities. As we go through life, sometimes the door of opportunity is open to us, isn't it? And we miss it. I'm glad that we are serving a God, according to what John wrote over in Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Philadelphia, that we serve a God that can open a door that no man can shut. But he can also close doors that no man can open. And Paul is expressing here to the people at Corinth that he would love to come and visit them. Not just for a little while, but he would like to come and spend all winter with them before he went on his way somewhere else. But he said, I'm going to do that if the Lord will, but I can't come right now. And I think he probably had a desire to go, but he said, I can't come because I need to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? And I'm going to put it in my words today. I've got a great opportunity here. And he doesn't say what it is, does he? But he says, I've got a great opportunity. A door is open to me right here. Which tells me something must be going on at Ephesus, that's got Paul's attention. I have to hope that it's revival. I have to hope that he is being fruitful in his ministry in Ephesus. And so he's saying, guys, I'd like to come, but I can't leave right now. Kind of reminds me of the story, you know, of over there in the book of Acts where Ananias, not Ananias, and his name just left me, but I'll think of it in a minute, or somebody will look it up and tell me after church. I know you will. Where he is, Philip is his name. He went to Samaria, and he's having a revival. Remember that story? He's up there, and revival started in Samaria, and people are getting saved, and the early church finds about it, and they send some other guys up there to help him out. And right in the middle of this great revival, God comes to Philip, and he says, I'll tell you what, I want you to leave here and go down to Gaza, into that desert area down there. And Philip, and it doesn't say this, and I mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, men's Sunday, I wish I had full conversation sometimes in the Bible. But if I had been Philip and I'm in the middle of a great revival and people are getting saved and people are rejoicing and then out of nowhere God tells me to go down where nobody's at, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be going, what's wrong with you? We're having a big revival here. Things are great. God's moving. God's working. And now you want me to leave this great service and go down? And God even told him, go down toward Gaza to the desert. Well, what are you going to find in a desert? Philip's like, I don't understand. But he's kind of like Paul. This is a door of opportunity. I've got to take it. And so even though great times are happening, he leaves and he goes down toward Gaza. And I don't know. I'm just imagining it's me instead of Philip walking down through there. And I can see me, you know, walking down that way, and I'm out in the desert, and nobody's coming along, and I'm kicking rocks and anything else, saying, yeah, leave a good revival down here in the middle of nowhere, and ain't nobody around, and, you know, what in the world did you send me down here for? Don't act like you guys haven't acted that way. And all of a sudden, a chariot starts to come by. God said, Philip, you see that chariot? Go run up there and talk to that guy. And Philip goes up there. And he hears this guy reading scripture out of the book of Isaiah. And he walks up and he said, you understand what you're reading? And the guy said, well, not really. I wish I had a commentator. Now, that's not King James. You guys know that, don't you? And so Philip jumps up there and he even tells us the place where he was reading over there in Isaiah is that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears. So he opened out his mouth and he said, is this guy talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And Philip seizes the moment. He takes the opportunity, jumps up, and he begins right there and he preaches to that Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus. Now folks, that is a door of opportunity that's open. That is an opportunity that's knocking, and it seemed to start with that it wasn't any big deal, but boy, it turned out to be, didn't it? Because as Philip begins to explain to him about Jesus, and he's explaining about everything that needs to be done, they're traveling along, and all of a sudden there's a hole of water. And the eunuch looks at Philip, and he said, well, here's some water. What's to keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. And the eunuch said, I believe. Now, I have to look at that story, and I have to look at this story here we've just read, and I have to understand, and you have to understand today, that that's opportunity knocking. And we need to open the door. Sometimes God opens doors of opportunity for us, and we never go through them. It could be a relationship, right? Somebody that perhaps you know or would like to get to know. And I don't know how Rick Popplewell and Jimmy Wheeler become such great buddies. How much I owe you for that, Mark, Rick? You know how they got to know each other? Door of opportunities open. Right? How many times has that happened and we put it off thinking, well, I'll meet up with them sometime later on, or I'll see them later. Never happens. How many of you have had job opportunity come up? And you know, maybe you're not really looking for one, but boy, here's one that just suits you just fine. And man, you know, the pay is going to be good. The benefits are going to be right. And you're like, well, yeah, but, and you make all kind of excuses and you never go through that door. And oftentimes we'll tell ourselves, well, it'll come around again. But opportunities don't always come back around, do they? You see, that's what Paul's faced with right here. He's saying, you know, guys, I've got plans to come see you and I want to see you, but man, I got to stick around Ephesus right here because there's a great door that's been opened unto me. There's an opportunity that God has given me to do what I'm called to do. And so I just can't come right now. And furthermore, he says that not only is it a great door, but it's effectual and it's open right now. What does it mean that it's effectual? That means there's power there. There's something going on in this door that is open, and I need to walk through it, and I need to access the power that's there. And I can't help but believe when he said that it's effectual and it's open, that it's the power of God that is working, and Paul has to do all he can to assist God. You say, well, you don't need to assist God. Yeah, you do. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his mouth. You are the one thing that he uses in the world to spread the gospel. And so Paul's going to help out here. He said, I'm going to stay in Ephesus as long as I need to because there's a great big opportunity right here. And not only that, but the power of God is in this opportunity. Now, I got a funny feeling that most of us here have had opportunities where God has opened doors to us. And you knew that God opened the door. And you knew that the opportunity was there. And for some reason, you just didn't take that opportunity. But you know why we don't? Because we tell ourselves, it'll be there later on. It'll be there later on. Now, I don't get too excited when babies are born. I know a lot of you do, okay? I tell people all the time, oh, aren't you going to go see that baby? That baby will have the rest of my life to look at me. It don't need to see me today. Because I figure the baby's going to outlive me. That's not much of an opportunity. I know you're all excited. I want to go hold the new baby and all that kind of stuff, you know. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But if somebody is sick and I know they're close to death and I feel like I need to go see them, you know what? I don't put that off. Because time might be short. If I feel the calling of God to go and witness to somebody, or maybe I don't have to go anywhere, maybe the opportunity just is falling right in my face and I have it right now, well then, I need to live in the moment, don't I? I need to take that opportunity. I need to open my mouth. I need to speak some words. I need to introduce myself. I need to introduce them to Jesus Christ, just like Philip did out there in the wilderness, right? Opportunity's right there. Sometimes we miss it because we're too busy. Maybe our plans will be hindered if we took the time to stop right now and go through this door. I had to wonder as I was studying about this week, how many people here, and don't raise your hands, but how many have absolutely missed opportunities that never came back around? Never came back around. I know some of you are thinking, well, I almost bought a house one time, but I messed around and missed it. Some of you guys back there are car guys, and boy, it was a car, and it was a deal, and I thought about it, and I should have bought that thing, but I didn't. Some of you had relationships that you've closed the door on, haven't you? And you want the door to be opened back up, but may not be opened up. Paul's faced with that right here. You know that, don't you? He spent 2.5 years at Ephesus. You know why? Because the door was open. The opportunity was there. Folks, I want to tell you this as a church today. As we live our daily lives from week to week, from the time that we're not here, when we're out in the world where the real work is for the church. Do I need to remind you that again? Can I hurt your feelings for just a minute? You didn't do God a favor by coming to church today. You did yourself a favor. Because this is where you fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Here is where you hear about the things of God. Here is where we're encouraged and where we're lifted up and where we're strengthened. The real work of the church is not inside the four walls of a building, but it's out in the world in which we live in every day. There's where the opportunities arise. There's where the opportunities come. When the door is open that you and I need to be bold enough to walk through. But some of you are scared to death, aren't you? And I know I've told this story here before, but I got to tell it again today to go along with that. Opportunity. I had been up here, I think it was probably here at Edinburgh Church one Sunday night for a mission night. Been many years ago, I was pastoring at Mount Hope Church, and I was on my way back home. Just got into Louisville and was going through Louisville, and the phone rang. It's been several years ago. That was the first cell phone I had. Picked it up, you know, them old bag phones, and answered it. He was a friend of mine, one of the fellows at Mount Hope Church, and he said, I tell you what, I'm over at so-and-so's house, and they're under conviction, and you need to come over so we can pray with them. And I, sitting there on the phone, and I thought, what in the world? I'm in Louisville. So I told him, I said, I ain't coming. He said, you don't understand. This person needs to be saved, and they're on the verge of being saved, and so you need to come over and help me out. And I said, are you not listening to me? I'm not coming. He said, but you're the pastor. I said, yes, but I ain't coming. He said, why not? I said, I'm in Louisville. Well, what am I supposed to do? I said, witness to him. Witness to him. Well, I don't know what to say. And I just told him, I said, you don't have to quote a lot of scripture. You don't have to go down the little list of everything that preachers talk about and all the witnessing classes talk you about. What you need to do, if you can't remember scripture and you can't remember all those, just tell them what happened to you. And he's like, I don't know. Maybe you could hurry up and get here. I said, no, we ain't got time for that. I'm 2 hours away. By the time I get there, this person may not be under conviction anymore. The Spirit of God might not be moving. It's time for you to take this opportunity and witness to this person and lead him to Jesus Christ. He said, I sure wish you'd hurry up. I said, I ain't coming. I ain't coming, and I'm fixing to hang up, and you can call me later on if something happens. And I was about 30 minutes from home, and he called back and said they got saved. And I said, do you understand the importance of seizing the moment? When the opportunity is there and God is moving, you don't back away. You don't leave and follow your plans. You don't change things. You go with the open opportunity, and the power of God will meet you, and the results will be astounding. That's why Paul's still at Ephesus. Oh, he wanted to go to Corinth and visit some people that he loved and that he knew, and he wanted that church to grow. But right now, God's working at Ephesus. Philip, I'm sure, did not want to leave Samaria because God was working and people were being born again. They were coming into the church. He didn't want to leave, but he did because he was obedient to God. Because in a way, God is saying, Philip, yes, the door is open here and things are great, but you get down toward Gaza. I've got another door for you to walk through. So often we don't think about it, do we? But where was that eunuch from? Africa. Ethiopia. And Philip, according to what we've been able to read about him, we don't have a whole lot more about Philip, but as far as I know, Philip never went to Africa. But you know what did go to Africa? The gospel. Because he had preached the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch who went down there, and I am sure when he got there and he got into the palace of Queen Candace of Ethiopia, he probably couldn't help himself. He had to tell what had happened to him. And you know what? It was just another door that's opened, another opportunity. And I can't help but wonder, how many times have we walked away from wonderful opportunities to witness to people? How many times? Did you notice the last part of verse 9 right there? He said, I'm staying because there's a great big door open. And boy, it's effectual. There's power there. God's moving up here. But he said, there's also many adversaries. I don't know if you've noticed, but anytime something good's going on, there's somebody around trying to stop it. You ever notice that? Sadly, sometimes it's people in the church trying to stop it. You know why? Because we don't do it that way. Adversaries. It doesn't matter how many doors of opportunity are open to us, there's always going to be something negative come along in there. Always. And you know what's scary? Is oftentimes we listen to the negative voices, not looking at the great possibility that's lying before us. I don't know. Some of you look like we're getting through to you today. You've been here. Is this a problem in your life? God opens opportunities and you don't go in because you have other plans or someplace else to be or something else to do or maybe just something just don't feel right, and there's an adversary here that's discouraging me from going. And you know what the greatest thing is that people miss? Salvation. There's a lot of people have this idea, and I've heard people say it to me, I'll get saved when I'm ready. You ever heard that? Did you ever say it? I did. Lost young person in the church I grew up in. One of the few revivals I didn't go to the altar. We went all the time. You know, that was just a thing. Last night of revival, you're going to the altar. You know, going to have a good cry. Going to get up and go your way. I didn't go that year. You know why? Didn't feel like it. Somebody came up and said, don't you think you ought to get saved? I said, yeah, and I will when I'm good and ready. That was kind of a bad answer, wasn't it? But that's the way I felt. And that's the attitude we have, right? I know there's two or three of you in here remember the pastor that I had when I first started preaching, Brother Willard Wilson. Anybody remember Brother Willard? He became a great friend of mine, Brother Willard did. He's 2 years older than me, but we became buddies, you know, while I was starting to preach. And I learned a lot about Brother Willard and loved him. Great guy. And not well versed in scriptures, but a great guy, okay? And I mean, and he had said throughout his life, and Willard lived pretty rough when he was younger. And I heard this from his brothers, and I heard it from his mouth. He said, you know, I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live my life. And he said, "They, Mom, Dad made us go to church, and I'd get under conviction, and I'd say, no, I'm not going to." And here's what he said. He said he told him one time just to leave him alone. He was going to do what he wanted to do until he was 40 years old, and then he's going to get saved. Man, what a plan. I'm just going to live my life and do what I want to do. And when I'm 40 years old and I'm too old to do some of the stuff I enjoy doing, then I'll get saved. That's not like a good plan, don't it? Except for one problem. Willard died when he was 38. This Memorial Day weekend, I go up to South Fork Cemetery a lot of times because I've got a lot of friends buried up there, and I like to think about them, you know. And I stood there at the foot of his grave, and I looked up there, and I thought, 38 years, and you had plans of getting saved at 40, but you never made 40. You know, you can have plans to get saved, and that's great, and I hope you do. But one of the greatest tactics that Satan has is this, and he lies a lot. You know that, don't you? But all the times he just discourages us. He just leads us down a different road. Saved. Just not today. Just not today. See, I've been churched all my life. I've been in probably more church services than most of the rest of you. We went to revivals, and not just at my home church, everywhere else, and sang. Mom and Dad sang. I mean, I've been in church all my life. And do you know what? God doesn't always move the same way in every spirit. So sometimes there's a great spirit of rejoicing, isn't there? We are all happy, and I mean, sometimes people like to shout and raise their hands, and that's great if God's moving that way, right? But some of you, I can tell you this, some of you in this church have confided in me, you didn't even walk through that door. Because some of you here, and I'm not going to point fingers or name names or even give you their initials because you'll figure it out who it is, but more than one have told me, boy, there's been times I felt like shouting, but I didn't. Why not? Well, did you feel like at the next service? No. Well, you missed that opportunity. Right? Folks, listen. I hope you understand this. I didn't grow up separate Baptist. I grew up in the Holdings Church. So, Sister Cindy, we found out we both grew up in the same denomination. They used to shout there, didn't they, Sister Cindy? Oh, look, they'd hoop and holler and wave the white flag. But not all the time, just when God moved, okay? It wasn't a requirement. But we grew up in churches where people weren't afraid to do that when that opportunity came to glorify God. Don't you miss Sister Mamie sitting over here in the corner, and when God began to move, Sister Mamie didn't care what you thought. She was going to shout, wasn't she? Some of you have missed the opportunity of a blessing from God because you looked around and Satan talked you out of it. You let the adversary cheat you out of a blessing. God help you. I hope you act better. Quit being so selfish and act better. I don't mind telling anybody I've never shouted, never once. I've never felt like shouting. But if I do, you better move over. Because I want to know what that's all about. Now, I get blessings in different ways, but when that door's open to me, I'm walking through it, folks. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to know it, okay? And oh, I can feel the Spirit of God come over. But you know what? I remember the convicting spirit too, don't you? I think Paul wants to stay around Ephesus because revival's going on. I really think that's why. I think people are getting saved. The church is growing. Things are going great. And he's going, look, I'm going to stay here because there's a big door of opportunity open to you. But let me tell you, the greatest door of opportunity in your life is the opportunity to get saved. There'll never be a greater opportunity come your way. There's never a job that will be more important and more impactful on your life than you getting saved. Nothing is more important in your life than being saved. Absolutely nothing. I was in a preachers and deacons meeting last night in South Kentucky, and we get together, but you know, there ain't very many of us, but boy, we have some big discussions. And I told them, I said, guys, you know what? The one message that we preach, and all of us preach it once in a while. Now, the deacons don't preach. We won't let them down there, you know, but Well, we would if they felt like it, I guess, but none of them ever stepped up to do it. But I said, you know what? We preach a lot of messages, but the most important message that we preach, the most exciting message that we preach, the most powerful message that we preach is the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and we can preach it, and the church goes, that's nice. And God begins to move, and the church looks around going, I wonder who He's talking to today. I'm right, ain't I? I know I am. You know why? I used to sit in them seats too. And I still do once in a while. And lost people, the Spirit of God is moving them. And you know what they tell themselves? They tell themselves the same thing Satan tells them. Yes, I need to be saved. Yes, I'm going to be saved. And I'm going to do it before I die. But I'm not going to do it today. And I've witnessed to so many people over the years that have told me that. Especially younger people. Yeah, I'm going to get saved before I die. And you know what? That used to intimidate me. I'd just kind of walk away with my head down. And if I'd had a tail and I was a little puppy, it had been between my legs walking away. But I've got little boulders, I've got older. And somebody tells me, yes, they're going to get saved before they die. You know what I tell them today? Boy, that's a good plan, Brother Stan. Tell me when you're going to die. And you know what? None of them has yet told me when they're going to die. We got the great plan. Spirit of God's moving in the service. The opportunity is there. This is the moment when all you have to do is just say yes to God. I'm sorry for my sins. I don't want to sin anymore. Will you forgive me of my sins? And we let the devil talk us out of it. That's the greatest lost opportunity that the world has ever had. It's not shouting. It's not waving our hands. It's not the new job or the house or the car or another relationship. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ that the door is open and the power of God is present. And let me tell you something. It's real easy to walk through it. I think back to the night that I got saved. And I've never given my full testimony here and may never do it. Because you probably wouldn't want to hear it. Because I'll tell you how sorry I really was. And how bad I was. The night that I actually got saved, not come to the altar and had a good cry. Too many of you have done that and think you're saved. And ain't nothing changed about you. And how do I know? Because you're acting just like you did before you had to cry. But the night I got saved. You ever heard of the white knuckling thing? Holding the pew in front of you? I was hanging on for dear life. Because I knew I needed to be saved. I knew I could be saved. I just didn't think I was ready. But because of the prayers of the saints of God, the conviction was so strong upon my life that night that I looked at my buddy Jerry and I said, Jerry, I've had all of this that I'm going to stand. I'm going. And Jerry says, I'm going with you. Little did he know, I was going to the altar because I had had it and I had escaped death so many times that I had to evaluate and say, God, why have you even left me here? All those times I should have been dead and I walked away. Why am I still here? God had a purpose for me. Do you know that? God's got a purpose for you. And that night, that door was opened. And I look back now, all those years later, and I realize that might have been the last door of salvation that I could have walked through. I think that was my last opportunity. I don't think there was another chance. I think that was it. And the adversary's there saying, yeah, you need it, and you will be, but boy, not tonight. Look at all the fun you've been having. Look at all the stuff you can, look, you ain't even exhausted all the excitement you can get into. But for some reason that night I said, you know what, I don't care. I don't care. Because I fear death. I fear eternity separated from God. And so the adversary wasn't hurting me anymore. He was trying. But when I finally looked at my buddy and said, I've had enough of this, I'm going, I had committed myself. And when I stepped out, honestly, folks, I don't remember walking all the way down to the altar. I don't remember it. I don't remember how long I prayed, although it was a long time because everybody else was done till I got up. But when I got what I needed, I knew it, and everybody else knew it because I told them. Because the door of opportunity was open. You see, what I'm telling you today is the door's not always going to be open. That job you want to have, if you don't say yes to it, somebody else will take it. That house that you want to buy, if you don't close on it, somebody else will. The car that maybe you want, or motorcycle or boat or whatever you want, if you don't act on it when the door of opportunity is there, it'll close on you. It's that way with life too. It's that way with life too. We don't get saved just whenever we want to. Do you know that? The Spirit of God must be present. The power must be there, and it must be real, and it must be begging you to come forward. And how many times, perhaps in your life, have you felt that Spirit of God tugging at your life? And it's almost as you could hear Jesus say, as he said in the gospel, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Some of you are struggling through life with a lot of things, and you're getting beat up all over. And the truth of the matter is, if you would just give your life to Jesus Christ, a lot of that stuff wouldn't matter anymore. See, I don't worry about much in my life. I don't need to. God's got that. He's got it. I don't need to worry about it. But some of you, your life's a wreck. And you know what? Jesus is saying, come to me. If your life's a wreck, if you've got more things on your shoulders than what you can carry, it's time to lay them down. Paul said over in Romans that we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Jesus said, come to me. I'll give you rest. Some of you have a hard time sleeping at night because too much stuff going through your brain, right? Too much stuff going through. Others are saying, boy, I go to bed and sleep like a baby. Well, I don't sleep like a baby because I don't wake up every 2 hours. But you got stuff going on in your head? You need Jesus. You got stuff going on in your life that's causing you heartaches, that's weighing you down? You need Jesus. And when the door of opportunity is open in this service or another service, whenever it is, maybe it's at home, maybe it's walking down the street, maybe it's driving down the road, maybe it's at work, maybe it's at a restaurant somewhere. When God begins to speak to you, that means that door of opportunity for salvation is now opened up for you. And the power of God is there, and it's real, and He's speaking to you. And it's as if Jesus was standing here saying, just come here. I'll take your load. Just yoke up with me. Isn't that what he said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest to your soul. And you've heard that, haven't you, all your life? But you've not yet made the move. Can I tell you something? God's not going to move the door so he can put you through it. You'll have to walk through it yourself. Just like I had to turn loose of the pew in front of me and go to the altar, you'll have to move too. In God's direction. Does that mean you got to come down to this mourner's bench? Well, not really, except if he says that's where you got to go. If he says that's the place, that's where you got to meet him. And I told you, my buddy Jerry, he thought I was leaving. But you know what he did? And this blew my mind later on. He followed me down. And later on that night in the dorm, we were talking about it. And he said, man, I thought you was leaving. But he said, I thought, well, wherever he's going, I'll just go too. And I ain't seen Jerry in 51 years. but I hope to see him someday, because we both walked through the same door of opportunity on the same night. You see, Paul's got plans, but he said, I can't leave. There's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity that I've got to say. Philip said, you know, it's a great revival, but God said, Philip, you got to go down here. Took the opportunity, didn't you? Spirit of God called to me one night and said, it's you. Tonight's your opportunity. This is it. The door's open. You ever read over there in Revelation? Chapter 3, verse 20. Where here's the words it says. And John's writing, he's dictating for Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I want you to get this picture, okay? Because, folks, he's talking to the church. You understand that? He's talking to the church. He said, church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. You guys have all seen the picture, haven't you, of Jesus standing outside knocking on a door? Every preacher that preaches it wrong, I have to straighten him out after service. He'll say, you'll notice there's no doorknob on that door. Is there a doorknob on that door? You can't see it. You know why? Because Jesus is standing in front of it. And so I have to instruct them, don't preach there's no doorknob on that door. Jesus is not going to open the door and barge into your life. You've got to open the door. Well, there's no doorknob on that door. I keep telling them, if you'll pay attention, you'll find out on the right-hand side of that door is three hinges. The doorknob's on the other side. And Jesus is saying, please let me in. And it's not that there's not a doorknob. It's just that he won't barge in on your life. You've got to make that move. You've got to open the door. You've got to walk through the door and welcome him into your life. And if you don't do that, when opportunity knocks, it'll be lost. And you may never get that opportunity again. I'm so glad the night I opened the door and said, yes, Lord, come into my life. Because I still think all these years later, there would have never been another opportunity. And I don't know how many times God has spoken to you in your life, probably many times, and you've always put it off. But that's the most dangerous thing you can possibly do in your life. For you never know if it's going to come back around. And I'm just going to tell you this today, as Brother Jimmy gets us a song together and comes on up here to look in your life. Paul changed his life many times, changed his plans many times because there was an opportunity. Sometimes I've had to do that. Sometimes you've had to do that. But the most important decision you'll ever be faced with is whether you allow Jesus Christ to come into your life. And I have a feeling today, and it's a feeling, that that door of opportunity is open somewhere. And Jesus Christ is knocking on some doors and saying, open up. Let me in. Let me cleanse your heart and your life of the sin that's in your life. And let's start over again. And let's give you a life that's full of fulfillment, a life that's full of joy and happiness and contentment, and in the future, eternal life. Opportunity's knocking, folks. You just got to be willing to go through the door. If you need to pray today, if God's speaking to you, would you take that as a knock on your heart? Would you take it as an opportunity for you to be saved? And would you say yes to him today instead of later? Would you say yes? If you need to pray, this mourner's bench is open. We'd love to pray with you. You'll stand and come forward if you want. We'll pray together. I'll not ask you what you're praying about. That's between you and God. But I'll pray that God will listen to you and he'll help you to confess your sins and to repent and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's stand together. Brother Jimmy, what song?
Page 326. 326. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him. Darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come.